part of the challenge for traditional media, both newspapers and broadcasting, today is that advertising is moving online. Last year, online advertising took 12% of the Irish advertising pie of around €1 billion, and that figure is on the increase. Two-thirds of it goes to the search facilities like Google and now Facebook advertising. Now, Gerard O'Neill, you're chairman of Amorok Research. Now, you were commissioned by AOP, that's the Association of Online Publishers, to try to gauge the value of Irish content sites. What did you find?
What we found was, in a way, surprising in that you would think nowadays on the internet all websites are the same, people go to the same sites, social sites, search sites, etc. The surprise was that Irish content sites, sites provided by Irish media, be they newspapers or radio or TV, really have a very strong positive impact on Irish internet users' behaviour. You'd expect that in terms of their being popular, you'd expect it that people want to read Irish content and all of that. Of course they do on the web. But what was really surprising was how powerful Irish content was in driving advertising effectiveness and even in driving sales online.
Tell me how that works.
We explored it in the survey a number of different ways. What we found was that when you talk to people about three types of sites, content sites provided by Irish content providers, portals, the likes of Aircom, for example, or MSN, or social sites like obviously Facebook or LinkedIn, people describe having very different experiences on those three types of sites. That's not surprising. We go to them for different reasons. But what was really surprising was that when you ask them about recall of advertising on those different sites or even clicking on advertising on those different sites, you get a very different response. And what appears to be happening is that internet users, when they're on Irish content sites, have a higher level of trust, a higher level of engagement with the content, perhaps greater willingness to come back and loyalty perhaps to the site itself. And as a result, all of this creates this kind of very positive halo effect, you might like, for advertisers. It appears to facilitate a greater likelihood to respond to advertising, to recall advertising, and even to buy the product that's being advertised.
Because you found some quite striking figures with regard to actual purchases.
That's right. I mean, we found, for example, that a quarter of all the internet users we surveyed who'd been to an Irish content site had bought a product or a service that they'd seen advertised on that site. And that falls down to, I think, about 14% of all of those using, say, a social site. Yeah. So it appears that, the way we put it is that context is king, that being exposed to advertising or marketing messages on a site where the content has been curated, where it's been provided by a trusted supplier, reduces some of those barriers, those psychological barriers that we all have as consumers when we're being sold to. And when you're on a site where you trust the content, you trust the provider, they have that reputation that goes before them, you're just more open perhaps to the advertising or the messaging that you're exposed to on that particular site. And that's what seems to be driving this different experience and this very different behaviour.
But isn't the problem that the revenue is not going to Irish content online? It's not coming back. What I mean is it's not going, when you say it's going to search, it's not necessarily the broadcasters and the media that the revenue is going to. It's going to the search engines.
The reality is that at the still very early stage of the internet as a marketing medium, people are still buying it on, I think, inappropriate measures. So they're buying it in terms of cost per thousand, they're buying it in terms of clicks. And on that basis, Irish content sites will always struggle to kind of match the economics, if you like, of a big Google or a Facebook. I think the discussion needs to move on from a discussion about quantity to a discussion about quality. Sure, if you're advertising some new app on Facebook, maybe that makes economic sense. If you're advertising a family car, it might make more sense to put it on an Irish newspaper or Irish TV website, because the trust, etc., that goes with that website will make you more likely to consider what is an important purchase decision. So whilst the cost per thousand or whatever measure media buyers and advertisers might use these days may go against the Irish content site providers, the actual economic benefit in terms of the willingness of people to respond to an advertisement, to engage with advertisers on content sites, should more than compensate for that.
So it's not so much about traffic, about the volume of traffic. It's about what people have gone to the site to look for.
Yeah, exactly. None of us go online to look at advertising, but we get bombarded by it anyway, whether we want to or not. And so therefore, if there's something about the content on an Irish content site that just reduces that barrier to consideration as a consumer when you see an ad, so you kind of think, for example, in the research, what we found was that people were far more likely to say that the advertising on an Irish content site was relevant to them, even if they didn't want to respond to it, than they felt the advertising, say, on a social site or a portal was relevant to them. So it appears to be that when Irish internet users, and that's now 80% of the population, are online, they just have this qualitatively different experience on Irish content sites that appears to set them up to respond differently, more positively towards advertisements.
Are people more inclined to respond positively to an ad if they've been a long time on the site or a short hit?
I'm not sure it matters in terms of how long they're on the site. The word we used in the research was around engagement, the extent to which people feel that they're engaged with the content, they're engaged with the provider of the content. And what we found was that, again, when you ask people, for example, is engaging a word you would use to describe your experience on a social site, a portal, or an Irish content site, we found vastly more, like the vast majority, over two-thirds of Irish consumers said that engaging was something they described of their Irish content experience versus their social or their portal experience. So that's an emotional reaction. It may not be about how long they spend. You know, you may just go on there 2 minutes, read a story that really makes your day or is something you want to tell your friend or your colleague about. That's engaging, no matter whether it's 2 minutes or 20 minutes.
So it's not just about idly clicking site after site. It's actually about targeted advertising.
Again, yes. What we found was that barrier around whether people feel the advertising is more relevant. It just seems to be so much lower with content sites. What we found was it varied by age group or by gender. Certain types of findings, for example, around trust or even likelihood to purchase something online. We found older consumers, say 45 to 54, far more likely to buy something on an Irish content site because they've seen the ad than, say, younger people. But that's probably because older people are more likely to have their own credit card and all of that. But nevertheless, these demographic differences are interesting themselves because what they tell us is that if you're an advertiser, you want to reach women or you want to reach a 25 to 34-year-olds and part of the messaging is about trust and engagement, then Irish content sites appear on the basis of our survey to drive a far more positive environment for you.
And when you say engagement, does that involve the consumer actually having to click on the ad, open it, read it, interact with it in some way?
Engagement's more about the site itself. It's not about the advertising on the site. But the fact is that if people feel that if I'm on rte.ie or irishtimes.com and I feel I'm engaged with the content of that site or with what the site is about, because obviously it resonates offline as well as online, then that's the engagement we're talking about here, not the advertising per se. But what you tend to find is that there's a correlation between people feeling engaged with the content and their willingness to click on the ad. So it's simply setting up a very benign environment for advertisers.
Jared, you produce a quarterly on social media and social media use here. Tell me, what trends have you seen?
Well, we're still at the early stages of the growth of social media, not surprisingly, in Ireland. What we're finding, though, is we passed a very significant landmark late last year, which was that for the first time ever, the majority of people in Ireland were on Facebook. And the speed of adoption of Facebook, say, versus mobile phones, never mind old-fashioned landlines, is quite phenomenal. Behind that is coming Twitter, and then behind that is LinkedIn. What we're finding is that social media now fit in with people's lifestyles very comfortably. People are comfortable with it in terms of it being part of their daily routine, either at work or at home. But what we're finding is that whilst there's still a significant growth momentum in terms of social media consumption, we are finding some negativities coming through as well in terms of consumer perceptions. And the big one is privacy. And what we're finding now is that if you're talking to consumers, particularly in focus groups, they're now increasingly concerned but the boundaries of privacy in terms of their social media experience, whether the social media providers are crossing those boundaries perhaps too aggressively or too frequently. And so that's one of those ones I think we'll be tracking and monitoring in the near future, because it seems to us that we may be at a bit of a tipping point around the openness towards social media that was undoubtedly the case before. It was seen as just a benign net positive thing that really, why wouldn't you go with it? We're now finding, perhaps because some people, the younger population in particular, have been living with this a number of years, they're now starting to push back to a certain extent about privacy. And it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic unfolds.
We have 2 million Facebook users in this country. Obviously huge potential for advertisers there, but what are the challenges too?
Well, I think there are two challenges. One is that for a lot of advertisers, they're advertising in a social sense, risks becoming wallpaper. It's very cleverly integrated into the browsing experience of the social site, but sometimes it's too clever in that it becomes invisible. So that's something that we've seen happen in terms of some of the feedback we've had about advertising on social. There's perhaps another challenge, and that's stepping back from the medium itself to the marketplace, and that is that when you think about the statistics now about more money being spent in online advertising than on radio advertising in Ireland, have Google and Facebook become the new absentee landlords of Irish marketing? Because that money's not being recycled into the economy as it would be through a local radio station, TV station or newspaper. And that's a dynamic that is bubbling up in some other markets. The UK, where now search marketing is bigger, I believe, than TV advertising spend or local advertising spend. So therefore, I think it's an interesting dynamic for the marketing and media industry in this country about how benign are some of these developments, not so much for advertisers and marketers, they just have to get on with it, but actually for the industry as a whole.